This is the Ben Shapiro Show. We're joined on the line by Dr. Harvey Risch of Yale School of Epidemiology. He is going through all of the things that the media and the government got wrong with regard to therapeutics. So let's talk for a second about some of the therapeutics that have been available since the beginning. So there's been a lot of controversy surrounding hydroxychloroquine. There have been suggestions that it works, suggestions that it doesn't. The media, of course, attempted to make it a fish tank cleaner. And then ivermectin was treated by the media as a not only ineffective therapeutic with regard to COVID, it was also treated as horse medication by the entire media, which, of course, is silly. As Joe Rogan put it, he can afford people medicine, MF-er. So what data do we have on the efficacy of some of these sorts of treatments?
Well, the first thing is the efficacy doesn't really matter. What matters is the safety, okay? And the reason I say that is because if a medicine is proved to be completely safe, then you try in the middle of a pandemic, use anything you got, and so you try it. You don't suppress it. Both ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine are among the safest medications we know of. Hydroxychloroquine has been used for 60 or 65 years in hundreds of millions of people, in tens of billions of doses worldwide, in pregnant women, in infants, in frail elderly. It is universally safe. The mass hysteria that's been whipped up about it is a complete fraud that was perpetrated by the FDA. The FDA, in March of 2020, suppressed usage of hydroxychloroquine except in hospitalized patients and clinical trials. So they blocked its usage in outpatients, which is what we're talking about. And then they put up a fraudulent website warning, which is still there. This website warning says in big black letters, warning, don't use hydroxychloroquine if in outpatients because of risk of cardiac adverse events. And then in small letters underneath, it says, we base this warning on adverse events that we have recorded in hospitalized patients. That's the fraud, because hospitalized COVID in that era, in Delta and previous strains, hospitalized disease is a very severe, flagrant, florid pneumonia treated completely differently than the outpatient disease, which is a flu-like illness with fever, muscle aches, sore throat, runny nose and so on, tiredness, that is a viral replication illness. By the time you get the florid pneumonia, the virus is mostly gone and its immune system in overdrive, laying down debris in the lung. Totally different disease. For the FDA to base a warning on outpatient use, which is comparable to the tens of billions of uses of this drug for 65 years, known to be safe, to base that warning on something that happens in hospitalized patients is an utter fraud. And that is the original sin of the whole pandemic, because that fraud percolated into the medical establishment banning hydroxychloroquine, the physician review boards in all the states trying to ban physicians from using it, the pharmacy review boards banning pharmacists from using it, government banning it. This is the whole fraud perpetrated on the world by the FDA as the ringleader of that fraud, putting this out in public and not saying this is a law you must obey, saying we're making this warning. And then all the lawyers went into overdrive saying, well, we advise your institution, your company, that if the FDA is saying this, that therefore you have to protect yourself, and so you have to ban this, because when if something bad were to happen, then you can point to the FDA and say, we're just following orders. And so that is how this whole fraud has been perpetrated on the country and the world. This drug works extremely well, as it happens, but in fact, it's completely safe. That there's a very, very small set of people who either have what's called electrolyte imbalances or are taking a few other drugs that might be contraindicated, and there's a few rare genetic disorders that one wouldn't use hydroxychloroquine in. Other than that, it's routinely safe. Rheumatologists use this day in, day out as part of their practice. Ophthalmologists see these patients, because when you use it daily for decades, then there is a retinitis in the eye that it needs to be evaluated. And so ophthalmologists see these kinds of patients, the rheumatoid arthritis and so on patients. They see them routinely, and they are completely comfortable with this drug. And so this is a known entity. It's not like some new drug off the shelves with unknown side effects and so on. This is a known entity. It's used worldwide and very safe. And is very, know that it's effective, because when you look at the studies in outpatients, there are 10 studies that have looked at hydroxychloroquine use in outpatients. Every one of them shows benefit. These are all controlled trials. They all show benefit. They show about a 50% reduction in risk of hospitalization and a 75% reduced risk of mortality. Now, this is hydroxychloroquine by itself. The regimens for it is, of course, that we know is to take it with zinc, with an antibiotic like azithromycin or doxycycline, with perhaps with steroids and other medications, and vitamin D, and so on, that doctors have worked out a protocol for tailoring the treatment to each person. Each patient has their own unique circumstances, and doctors are, their main job is to figure out what it is for each person and treat the person appropriately. So when you do that, it's 90 to 95% effective at reducing mortality and death. For example, Dr. Freitz and Tyson's practice in Southern California, they've seen more than 7,000 patients that had no deaths. Same with true with Dr. Zelenko in New York, outside of New York City, with I think about 3,000 patients. He had two deaths or three people who didn't follow the protocol or were already too late. They have to be treated as outpatients in the first 5 or 6 days. The earlier, the better, like we know for viral illnesses. But so this is completely known, completely established, and yet it was suppressed because and fake randomized trials were mounted. And then the medical establishment pointed to these fake randomized trials saying, see, you see, it doesn't work. Half the trials were in hospitalized patients where, of course, it wouldn't be expected to work the same way it works in outpatients. And then they extrapolated from hospital patients to outpatients, which is a fraud and so on. It's been treated as a pariah and suppressed because of the damage that it would have done to expensive medications, to patent medications, and to vaccination. And that's what's behind the whole game plan of this. This happened before President Trump said anything. It was started in fall of 2019 when the French Minister of Health changed the status of hydroxychloroquine, which had been over-the-counter in France, to a prescription-only medication, citing what she called genotoxic data on chloroquine, which is untrue. This was a fake case. Her husband is involved in the Wuhan Institute of Virology, building the BSL-4 lab there. So this was all interconnected. The British medical statisticians that work for pharma companies put out a fake paper in New England Journal in February of 2020 saying, entitled The Magic of Randomization Versus the Myth of Real World Evidence, where they attempted to categorize my entire discipline of epidemiology as a fake field, that only randomized trials provide evidence. That's a complete fraud because most randomized trials are too small to provide actual randomized evidence, and it's very easy to fake a randomized trial, to defraud and subvert a randomized trial in full public view by the tricks that all the pharma companies know, including making the trial too small, stopping midway, changing the endpoint, using too high a dose, using too low a dose, making it the drug or the vaccine so that people can actually recognize which they got, not vetting the patient by doing it online and not knowing who is actually participating. There are all sorts of ways, and then not analyzing the proper data, ignoring data of delay as were done in the Boulware study, ignoring the fact that it took an extra 2 days to get the drug to the patient, and then claiming that the drug, the study didn't find anything, but if you restricted it to the people who got the drug in time, that it had a very significant benefit. All these things are ways of subverting randomized trials to claim that they don't show anything, that there's no benefit when in fact there is. And that's exactly what happened. These so-called studies were done by people who, if they hadn't been funded with, and had pharma engagements, COIs, conflicts of interest with pharma, got grants to their institutions right after they published their papers. And all these kinds of shenanigans were going on with those studies.